The recent Supreme Court decision to hear a case involving race-based admission policies at Harvard and the University of North Carolina has once again put college admissions in the spotlight. As that case moves forward, two lawmakers are taking aim at legacy admissions. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley and New York Congressman Jamal Bowman have filed legislation that would prevent any colleges or universities that accept federal student aid money from giving an advantage to legacy applicants, and those are applicants who are related to alumni. So we're taking some time today to talk about legacy admissions, why schools give these applicants preferential treatment, and why some are saying that now they won't. We'd love to have you join our conversation. What do you think? Should college applicants have an advantage if their parent or close relative went to the same school? Does the system help colleges and universities, or does it give an unfair leg up to some students who may already have advantages? Call us with your thoughts on legacy admissions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us to share her thoughts on this issue is Natasha Waraku. She's a sociology professor at Tufts University and author of the book titled The Diversity Bargain and Other Dilemmas of Race, Admissions, and Meritocracy at Elite Universities. Professor Waraku, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's great to be back.
So let's start with the whole concept of legacy admissions. How do they benefit colleges and universities?
Well, the idea is that if you have a relative or a parent who went to the university, then some universities believe that giving you a boost will do a few things. That it will, you know, create more loyalty and ties to the university. Perhaps you're more likely to serve on an alumni council. And of course, you know, perhaps you're more likely to donate to the university, and that, you know, parents and alums who think, well, in the future, I might want my child to apply to this university, so I should, you know, make sure to continue donating and donating generously to this university. And that's the idea behind it.
Right. I want to make sure we get some of that perspective in. You know, we reached out to several schools to talk about this, and we weren't able to find someone to join us today. But back in 2018, we did have Harvard President Larry Bacow on the show, and he described legacy applicants as being those that will sometimes, and he described the process really, and he said sometimes legacy applicants will get a second look from the admissions team, especially in cases of close decisions on admissions. And he said, in a way, legacy admissions really help the higher education institution. Here's what he told us back in 2018.
Well, it's done in for a variety of reasons. It's done because institutions like Harvard did not build themselves. They've relied upon people who've been willing to work hard to make these institutions the kinds of places that they are. And so it's not just that somebody attended Harvard or a parent attended Harvard. We actually look to see who's worked to try and engage the community more broadly on behalf of the institution, who's been actively involved. And there we do recognize people who've devoted their time and effort to help sustain the institution.
Natalie Waraku, what's your reaction to those comments?
Well, you know, I guess I would question why we would want to build these institutions through this kind of nepotism. You know, I certainly, you know, President Bacow would never hire people solely on the basis of whether their parent went to Harvard. And so I'm not sure why we would want to, you know, have, you know, as he said, build the institution, have people serve the institution, and use that as a reason to admit students. You know, I think it's worth pointing out that this is a policy that is very clearly and blatantly and openly privileging already privileged applicants, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you think about the Harvard of a generation, not just Harvard, any selective college Tufts of a generation ago, and then of two generations ago, you know, because the previous generation was also benefited from legacy admissions, we're talking about times when people of color were pretty much not completely locked out, but for the most part, didn't have a real shot at going to these universities. Hmm. And so it's benefiting, you know, wealthy families, high-income families, predominantly white families. So it's a policy that really perpetuates inequality at a time where, you know, we have increasing inequality already in American society. And these universities say that they want to create opportunities and open the doors to students from all walks of life. And this really goes against that.
But couldn't it also be that the folks who've been, you know, locked out, some of those who were able to get in, they could also benefit from their children and family members being legacy applicants?
That's true. I mean, these universities are changing, and there are more people of color, more Pell Grant recipients now than there were a generation ago. And, you know, however, they still have, you know, I think these universities can and need to and probably want to do better in terms of what their student body looks like. We know that there is a severe underrepresentation, not only of poor students, but even of kind of middle class students, of lower middle class students. And so, you know, it's true that the student body is more diverse than it was a generation ago, but I think we have a long way to go. And do we want to keep, do we want to promote policies that keep it the way that it is? Or do we want to say, you know, okay, well, we want other, you know, working class students, people from a diverse range of backgrounds, people of color coming to the university who are not familiar with the culture, who haven't been exposed to it, who can really benefit from the social networks and the educational experiences that the university has to offer.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, in terms of any kind of information or statistics on the applications from legacy applicants versus non-legacy applicants, do we know about credentialing and things like that? And if you're an admissions official, how you look at those things and how legacy might factor into the decision-making?
Well, it does appear clear, you know, President Bacow is right, that it's really just a little bump. I mean, you've got to be an outstanding applicant in a variety of domains to even have a shot. I mean, as particularly in a place like Harvard, nobody gets into Harvard. And frankly, no one gets into a lot of these very elite colleges because their admissions rates, you know, places like Harvard are down to 5%, other places 10%, 20%. They're, you know, 4 out of 5 students, applicants, 19 out of 20 are not getting in. And so it's, you know, you have to be in the running, and then it gives you that bump to get in. And we have a little bit more data from the Harvard case because of the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that data suggests that 30% of admitted students are either legacy admissions or they're on the dean's list, which means that they were from families that donated significant amounts of money, or athletic recruits, or children of staff and faculty. So there are these categories that do, you know, seem to together play a big role. We know that it makes a difference, but it's certainly not going to get you in if you're a C student.
Okay. I'd like to go to one of our callers here. Bill is calling from Dorchester. Bill, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I think one of the aspects of this that's important to know is that a lot of legacies is, you know, that special characteristic is a donation from the parents to the institution. And those, because donations to nonprofit institutions are tax deductible, what that means is that the parents are getting a tax deduction for the donation that enhances their child's ability to get into these elite schools. So think Jared Kushner, right? $2.5 million. After his father gives money, he gets admitted to Harvard. He wasn't a particularly stellar candidate for Harvard, but he got in. And that's the thing that I think should be discounted. People should not be able to get tax deductibility for their donation that results in their getting into an elite university.
So people, you think people are buying their way in, essentially, and at the taxpayer expense?
Yes, of course they are.
Mm-hmm. What do you
say? I would agree with that. I mean, it's not a causal relationship, right? So there's no guarantee. It's not that someone told Jared Kushner's father that if you donate this amount of money, we will accept your son. But there is a sort of, you know, again, no one really knows the secret sauce unless you've been an admissions officer, which I haven't. But it's pretty clear that there are these kinds of expectations. And I should say that legacy admissions is different from the kind of donor list. Like that is also another separate, the development office has a kind of special list that they're supposed to, quote unquote, you know, take a close look at in the admissions office. But certainly, you know, I think you're right to point out this tax advantage. And is that, you know, but they're allowed to do it because it's not like you're technically, you're not officially paying for a spot, even if, you know,
otherwise you could be in federal court in Boston.
Yes.
Right. I mean, so we've seen that firsthand.
This is a legal way to do, not so different thing. Yeah.
But so then what needs to happen there? I mean, do you think that there should be federal legislation? Should the government step in and maybe not give these tax breaks for these kinds of donations to kind of discourage the process? Or what's the answer here?
You know, I mean, You know, I think this legislation is great. I don't know if it's going to move forward. Honestly, I think that these universities should just stop the practice. I think they should do, they know what the right thing is, and they should not be forced to do it by the federal, they should not need to be forced to do it by the federal government. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, this is a policy that perpetuates privilege, perpetuates racial privilege, class privilege, and it kind of flies in the face of the identities of these universities as bastions of, you know, equal opportunity, meritocracy, justice. And so, you know, I think that they should, on their own, just like Amherst College did and Johns Hopkins did, I think others should follow suit.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess when you look at it, what do you think would be sort of a realistic change in the future? You know, we've been, as long as I've been reporting, I've been hearing about, which is a long time, I've been hearing about how competitive the process is for higher education admissions. And it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. And there have been all kinds of discussions about it. So what's a really realistic change that could be made, do you think? That would really help along these lines.
Well, you know, I do think that, you know, the end of it, legacy admissions is a very easy thing. Mm. I don't think it's going to solve the problem of decreasing admit rates, you know, lots of hand-wringing about, you know, where you go to college. You know, ultimately, I think the reality is that there are so many amazing young people in this country who are fully capable, who could take full advantage and do really well at these colleges, and more than there is space for. And so, you know, I think about like expanding enrollment. Like, why does it need to, you know, why do we need to keep the enrollment has not increased with the increase in the population? Why? Especially when we know all of the advantages that these places can confer. Well, but, you know, I think recognizing that there is no perfect way to select students and stop talking about it as if it's, you know, these are the best of the best in the country, which suggests that others are somehow less worthy. You know, you could introduce some kind of chance into the system and say, well, everybody who's qualified, just put them in a lottery. And so I think there's a lot of ways to sort of get away from this idea of that we have to select and then, you know, everybody scrutinizes what's the best fair. Like, is this fair? Is this not fair?
Okay. Natasha Waraku, sociology professor at Tufts University and author of the book The Diversity Bargain and Other Dilemmas of Race, Admissions, and Meritocracy at Elite Universities. Natasha, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.